sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa bihi wa rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. We are busy discussing these chapters, the Hameems. Now these are really special, spectacular chapters in the Quran Kareem, and the topics vary so amazingly, alhamdulillah, in these chapters. We were reciting yesterday Hameem As-Sajda, and something very interesting about this chapter is when non-Muslims would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like on one occasion, Utbah bin Rabi'a came. Utbah bin Rabi'a. Actually, the mushrikeen sent him. And they had a discussion. That who will go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stop him? So Utbah comes before the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have to speak to you. I have to talk to you about something. So Allah's Nabi says, fine, you're welcome. And he addresses Allah's Nabi, presenting different offers to him, saying, you have to stop this. You can't do this anymore. He actually said, who's better, you or your grandfather, Abdul Muttalib? That was how he was trying to convince Allah's Nabi to stop Dawat. Then he says, just stop this Dawat. Remember, analyze Rasulullah's Mubarak life. 40 years of akhlaq. His entire life was exemplary as far as character is concerned. Quran applauds his immaculate akhlaq and character. Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Oh my Nabi, your character is impeccable. But they had no problem with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he just had character. The problem the Meccans had was when he was doing Dawat. Dawat they couldn't bear. 40 years, they loved him so much, they applauded him. When he came, they said, أَصَّادِقُ الْأَمِينِ. The most trustworthy, the most honest. If they had anything of value, they knew the only person where their amanat would be kept perfectly was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember the famous journey of Hijrah? Allah's Nabi left Hazrat Ali behind. What was the reason for leaving Hazrat Ali behind? Was all the amanats, the valuables of the Meccan people, were kept by Allah's Nabi with precision. It had to be returned to them in the next 3 days. Then Hazrat Ali could leave. That was the honesty and integrity. And Allah's Nabi never said to them, you'll belie me, you'll deject me, you'll harm me, and I'll still keep your valuables. He never did them down in the least. That's why Islam teaches us, we don't even do our oppressors down. That's the beauty of Islam. We read the verses, you heard the verses. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. Allah says, oh my Nabi, you pardon the people. وَأَمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. You enjoin good. And the jahil, you just turn away, you leave him. Then Allah's Nabi asked Jibreel alayhi salam, elaborate on this verse. Jibreel came with a response. Oh my Nabi, what this verse means, Allah says, Sil man tata'ak. He who breaks ties, you maintain ties. You join ties. I'ti man haramak. To give the one who gives you is very easy. He gave me yesterday, I must give him something today. He sent one plate, I must send another plate today. That person who swore to send a plate of goodies to his home, ye hamare Nabi ki sunnat. I'ti man haramak. Give the one who deprives you. That one is for Allah. Give the one you love. MashaAllah, Allah will reward you. But specially for Allah is the one who irritates you, the one who harms you, the one who speaks behind your back, the one who belittles you. That's the one we're supposed to give. Ye hamare Nabi ki sunnat hai. I'ti man haramak. Give the one who deprives you. Wa'fu amman zalamak. Pardon the one who oppresses you. Wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. And the one who harms you, be kind to him, make ihsan to him, be good to him, make ikram of him. Allah give us tawfiq. This is sublime character. This is our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq. So from the beginning, they would harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah's Nabi was good to them. So his 40 years of akhlaq, nobody opposed him. But now he's giving dawah, they couldn't bear it. So Utbah comes, and he's saying to Allah's Nabi, this is the incident, you have to stop this now. And if you want, we'll make you our king. Just stop Dawat. If you want, we'll make you the richest. We'll accumulate our money and we will make sure your capital is more than anyone in Makkah. And if you don't want that, just stop the Dawat. We'll give you the most beautiful woman in Arabia. We'll arrange them. We'll line them up. You choose them. And if you feel you're not well and some jinn are troubling you, imagine you're telling someone who's the best of mankind, who has no trouble by who's not troubled at all, who doesn't have viswas of shayateen, who is not insane at all, who's perfect, who's most intelligent, you're telling him, Have you lost it? Maybe we'll get some doctor to come and treat you. So in these offers, there was insults also. But all they wanted was Allah's Nabi to stop Dawat. He is addressing the beloved of Allah. What is Allah's Nabi doing? He's silent. He's listening. He taught us this sunnah. Even if people are insulting us, listen to them. Let them finish. Then Allah's Nabi didn't say, you're insulting me now? What is wrong with you? No. When he finished his address, Allah's Nabi said, أَفَرَغْتَ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ. أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ is a title of respect. You call a person with his appellation, with his title. That is respect. So which teaches us, as a da'i, even if people disrespect you, you still respect them. يَا أَبَا نَبِي كَسْوِي. Today it's easy to respect the one who respects us. That's called, that's reciprocate. That is simple. That is normal. Akhlaq, that's not akhlaq. Akhlaq is respect the one who even disrespects. So Allah's Nabi says, Abu al-Waleed, are you finished? He says, yes, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah, he doesn't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously. We must say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever we utter or hear our beloved's name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi says, now can I speak? He says, yes. So this is a beautiful usul we learn. Even if it's a missionary in your home, give him tea biscuit, let him speak. After he finished, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was Allah's Nabi's da'wat? Allah's Nabi read this chapter of the Quran. Hamim sajda. Allah's Nabi was Hamim. Tanzeelun minar rahmanir rahim. Kitabun fussilat ayatu. Qur'anan arabiyan liqawmi ya'lamun. Bashiran wa nadhira. Fa'a'radu aktharuhum fahum la yasma'un. Wa qalu qulubuna fi akinnatin mimma tad'una ilayh. Wa fi adanina waqr. Wa fi adanina waqrun. وَمِنْ بَيْنِنَا وَبَيْنِكَ حِجَابًا فَعْمَلْ إِنَّنَا عَامِلُونَ. Now imagine Allah's Nabi's voice. Allah's Nabi's Mubarak, melodious voice that no makhluk has ever heard such a voice. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man, Utba, was shocked, was riveted by this. He was so touched. He remained there silently. At the end, he went back to the delegation that sent him. They saw a difference in his expression. They're telling each other, this man came with a difference, as though there was noor coming out from him, because just one interaction with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this man was touched. They said, what was your experience? He says, I advise you, that man is true. Don't mess with him. He's not a magician. He's not a poet. There's nothing wrong with him. You won't find better than him. And then he described Quran. Allahu Akbar. So many a time, non-Muslims came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he would do? Recite Quran to them. Allah's Nabi's da'wat was Quran. That's why then this is Hamim al-Mu'min, Hamim al-Sajda. Hamim al-Mu'min starts with 10 descriptions of Allah. Chapter 40. Chapter 41, 10 descriptions of the Quran. Allah revealed the Quran, Allah's Kalam, it starts with 10 descriptions. The end of Hamim Sajda brings 10 qualities. Remember yesterday we were telling you about the da'i. 3 pages of Quran speaking what da'wat he gave. This chapter, Allah tells us what qualities a da'i should have. So we mentioned to you verses 28. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Famous verse, how to die with iman. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا وَتَتَنَزَّلُ. The next verse, the next discussion, Allah brings a challenge. Now one is to give information. If one has to tell you, you know, this guy is very nice. Very good. That's information. It's called khabar in Arabic. The other is a da'wah, a challenge. If he says, you won't find better than this one. The second statement, or you say, bring me something better. The second statement is much more emphatic than the first. Quran doesn't say, da'wat is the best. Allah says, what can be better than da'wat? Can you see the difference in expression? Check it up yourself. Verses, chapter 41, verses 29. Allah says, who can be better in speech? And who can be better in deen than da'a ila Allah, than he who calls to Allah? This is the best. To call to Allah. Better than every other work and every other faculty. Da'a ila Allah. I remember as a young child sitting with my grandfather. It was a janazah. So the whole family got together. So someone was asking him, now he's in property. So someone was asking him, what's your work? What's your faculty? What's your field? He meant, what business are you involved in? What's your profession? That's what the man meant. was shocked with the answer of my grandfather. He said, my work is da'wat. He says, no, I don't mean that. I mean your profession, what you earn. You know, what do you earn through your means of livelihood and so forth. He says, my work is da'wat. My profession is da'wat. But my sideline, I'm in property. So from that time it sunk in me. See, really this man understood this verse of the Quran Kareem. Every Muslim has to understand da'wat is our profession, da'wat is our work, everything else is sideline. What Allah sent us for as believers, our purpose is true. Because we are creation of Allah, our work is ibadat, our first objective. And because we are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our responsibility is da'wat. So two things we are here for in this world. Two things we live for. Two things we breathe for. Two things we go to sleep and wake up in the morning for. Ibadat and da'wat. Our two duties as Muslims and as ummatis of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is apparent in the Quran Kareem. If you don't understand it, come to me, we'll explain to you again. Or go to any of the ulama, they will explain it to you also. What are the qualities of a da'i in this chapter? Number one, Allah says, da'a ila Allah, he calls to Allah. Number two, wa'amila salihan. He doesn't only speak, but he backs it up with action. He tries his best to do. He pleases Allah with action, not just talk. Talk is easy, talk is cheap. Talk is made effective when we back it up with action. That's why Rasulullah's words had such impact. So wa'amila salihan, does good deeds. Number three, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he says, I am from the Muslims. What it means, he's not arrogant that he's doing da'wah, he's arrogant. No, I am from the Muslims. I am ordinary. Everyone is better than me. Number four, قَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ also means unity. I am from the Muslims. Everyone, sab hamara hai, everyone is ours. Irrespective of his nationality, his color, his race, his language, sab hamara hai, all is ours, all is mine. We are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The first quality, Muslimin, has the meaning of obedience. Obedience. In this deen, we have to be obedient to our Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to our seniors, Muslimin. And the sixth quality of Minal Muslimin means sincerity. To do solely and wholly for Allah. Sincerely for Allah. Innani Minal Muslimin. Islam has the meaning of sincerity. Six qualities so far. The next verse, which is verse 32, speaks of the seventh quality. But this quality from all the 10 qualities is highlighted the most. Can you guess in a few seconds, what is this quality? From all the qualities of a Muslim and all the qualities of a da'i, this quality Quran highlights. Allah says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah teaches character in this verse. The noblest quality of a Muslim is akhlaq. A Muslim stands out with his character, his mannerism of speech, his respect, that he'll never harm anybody, he'll never do anyone down. Quran says, repel the harm of the other with kindness. Repel his harm. Quran says, idfa. He pushes you. Push him in a greater manner. How? Ahsan. In a beautiful manner. He pushes you. Leave him. Leave him. Show him love. He shows you hatred, show him compassion. He shows you cruelty, show him mercy. He shows you bad character, show him good character. Send ikram to his home. This is what our Nabi taught. Those highway robbers, he went to meet them. Those who harmed him, he showed love to their children. Those who harmed him, he forgave them. He made dua for them. He pardoned them. Those who swore him, he was most kind towards them. Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا. No one can receive this quality easily. يُلَقَّاهَا means to receive with difficulty. This quality comes with difficulty. Meaning we can't just learn this at home. We sit at home, comfortably we learn akhlaq. No. Sometimes we can learn akhlaq at home. Yes, we can. But we have to sacrifice to learn akhlaq. يُلَقَّاهَا is to learn with patience, sabr. And if Allah gives us akhlaq, إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. We're very, very fortunate. That's why Allah's Nabi said, all one's deeds will be weighed, قِيَامَتْ كَيْدِينَ. The weightiest of all actions. The hadith doesn't say salah, fasting, hajj. Those are very weighty. But the weightiest is character. If a person doesn't have character and is ill-mannered with all his ibadat, he will come on the day of judgment, Allah's Nabi said, حضور کی بات ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اللہ نبی سے قیامت کے دن وہ آئے گا, he will come on the day of judgment as a pauper, he will come bankrupt, muflis. Allah nabi says not neither a dime, nothing, because of his ill-mannered nature, his oppression of others, his harm and the takleef he causes to others. Then these 10 qualities finish off with something very interesting. Quran says وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, definitely shaitan will inject you. And this was very interesting to learn this. Why? Allah brings the discussion of shaitan injecting and harming you under the discussion of dawat. Because when you intend, I want to talk to this person about Islam, shaitan is going to inject. No! He's going to insult you. No! He's going to feel bad. No! You lose your customer. No! Your neighbor will put something for you. Put something. All that shaitaniyat. All that. Any hindrance of giving dawat. No. Workplace, no dawat. Astaghfirullah. Dawat is the purpose. For workplace, you have to leave the purpose. For going to the toilet, toilet is secondary. Toilet is necessity. Work is necessity, not purpose. We want to leave the purpose for the toilet, for the necessity, for the need, for the means. That's why Quran brings the discussion perfectly apt. Under the 10 qualities of a da'i, Quran says definitely shaitan injection lagayega. The words of Quran, yanzaghannaka, will inject. He'll inject everybody, but still a person making ibadat, it doesn't harm and hurt shaitan so much because he himself is doing. It's for his own benefit. But when he's giving dawat, he's saving humanity from jahannam. That person will take that literature, will go home. Just today, I asked a friend of mine, Zach, Allah make him Zakaria. He's working with us. So I said, drop me off here, the corner of, just before the corner of this four-way stop. I said, let me take a walk. And we're passing these little children coming out of school. So as I was walking, so I greeted them. Then I passed walking. Allah knows what made me tell him today out of the blue, walk. Why walk? Normally, you could have dropped me off. If you could have taken him 2 minutes, he wouldn't have minded. I pass a taxi driver. Anyway, I greet the children in the taxi and I'm walking away. He rushes behind me. An elderly man. He doesn't know me, I don't know him. He says, hey brother, do you know where I can get a translation of the Quran? But it must be in Zulu. Just today. See how humanity is thirsty. That's why I'm just trying to highlight one point. Don't do it. They'll put something for you. Don't do it. They won't like it. Don't do it. You lose your friendship. Why? You worry about your friendship in the world. You're not worried about facing Allah on the day of judgment, that you did not save him from Jahannam. Leave all these shaitani tricks and give the dawat. Invite him to Allah. It is necessary. It is our job. It is our responsibility. We won't become smaller. Allah will make you bigger. You are following the greatest sunnat of the greatest Nabi. What? The greatest sunnat? If you can't remember, write it down. The greatest sunnat of the greatest Nabi, alayhi wa salawatu min Allahi wa taslimat. Anyway, 10 qualities here in this chapter. There's no time. The next chapter is shura. Shura means mashura. Allah give us tawfiq to make mashura part and parcel of our life. Consult with your wife. Consult with your children. Don't be a dictator. No, it is only like this. No, my way or the highway. Muslims don't work like that. Make mashura. Make them happy. Take their opinion. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu used to say, if you have intellect but you don't make mashura, you're still a half man. Without mashura, we are incomplete. Then Sahaba say, Rasulullah made most mashura. No one made mashura like him. For every matter, come Sahaba, let's sit, let's make mashura. The entire chapter is called shura. Then the next chapter is called Zukhruf. My plan was to actually discuss this ayatah in Zukhruf. I can't discuss the details, but I want to just tell you something quickly about Zukhruf. And with this we will finish. Zukhruf means the glitz and glamour of this world. The pleasurable things of this world. So Allah says in this verse, if it wasn't that the Muslim would lose his iman, Allah would have given the kafir his house of gold and silver. Allah would have given a kafir his house of gold, that is gold, though gold, pleasures, comforts, luxury. But Allah says the Muslim will lose his iman. What that teaches us. If Allah gave us that in this world, it doesn't mean Allah loves us. You got nice car, Allah loves you. Nay, bye. You got nice house, Allah loves you. It doesn't mean that. Allah's Nabi said, Allah gives dunya to whoever he wants, whether he likes a person or he dislikes a person. Allah gives deen to those who he loves. So Allah give us deen. And if Allah gave us dunya to use it for deen, then we're very, very fortunate. It's a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then under this verse, we're not saying you mustn't have. That's why Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah was a great scholar, Sufyan al-Thawri. He was a contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa. He used to say, if we didn't have little bit dinar, dirham, the people of dunya will take us like handkerchiefs. So sometimes it's good to have also. But that must not be the purpose. Under this verse, why doesn't Allah give all the Muslims the pleasures there? Because if Allah says in the Quran, if it wasn't for the Muslim to lose his iman, Allah would have given the kafir all the pleasures. The question comes, okay, why Allah didn't give it to the Muslim? Why Allah gives Muslims difficulties? Like the great people of Palestine and our brothers suffering in India and in Africa and in Syria. Allah loves them. So Allah wants to clean them in this world and give them the greatest of rewards. But why Allah doesn't give all the pleasures to the Muslim? Because then a person will become Muslim for the pleasures and not for Allah. That's the answer to the question that comes in this discussion. And we finish this with this. Allah says in this verse we read today, if you are a friend with a person just for dunya, on the day of judgment, you all will be enemies unless our friendship is based on deen. Al-akhilla yawma idin ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqin. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.